The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trygve Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
We think it has to do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel! It's your Ethel, calm down!
What are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once-in-a-lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
would
that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
All of me. Why not take all of me? Baby, can't you see? I'm no good without you. Take my lips. I'll never use them. Take my arms. I want to lose them. Your goodbye. With eyes that cry, tell me how can I go on, dear, without you? You took the part that once was my heart, so why not take all of me? All of me, why not take all?
That's what I'm talking about. One of the great voices of the 20th century, Ella Fitzgerald. Take all of me. Yeah, great music for you on a Thursday morning. Ella Fitzgerald, by the way, passed away on this date, June 15th in 1996 at the age of 79. She always sounds great. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, everybody. I'm your host, Stu Daniels. And we've been discussing a few different topics this morning. The big shared revenue legislation in Wisconsin passed last night. And also been talking about Trump. And I came across an article in HuffPost. And by the way, if you want to join us on the phone, feel free. Phone number is 715-388-7155. If you have any comments about what we're discussing today. And this piece from the HuffPost says that an ex-federal prosecutor says Trump's big speech on Tuesday night after his arraignment in court was just a straight-out confession. This piece by Ed Matza in the HuffPost says former federal prosecutor Andrew Weissman said Donald Trump's speech on Tuesday night defending himself after he was arraigned on 37 federal charges could come back to haunt him during the trial. Quote, part of what he said is just a straight-out confession, Weissman told MSNBC's Lawrence O'Donnell. It's not a defense. It's a confession. Speaking at his country club in Bedminster, New Jersey, hours after pleading not guilty, Trump told supporters he had every right under the Presidential Records Act to keep the sensitive documents found at his Mar-a-Lago home during an FBI search last summer. O'Donnell later asked what specifically was a confession in Trump's speech. And Weissman says, when you are charged with the illegal retention, the illegal possession of the documents, it is not a good idea to say, hey, you want to know why I took these? Because I could, he said. That is not a defense to that charge. That is an admission to the charge. Weissman, who was part of Robert Mueller's investigation team, also noted that even if Trump himself doesn't take the stand during the trial, these and other public statements will be admissible in court. Okay, interesting. So that's the way Trump is, right? He just comes out and says all kinds of things he shouldn't be saying, if you talk to his lawyers, at least. One more thing, you know, Trump was calling for another big rally outside the courthouse when he was arraigned on Tuesday. Did he think he could get a big group of people together like he did on January 6th of 2021 to storm the courthouse? I don't know. This piece from the Daily Beast says Trump wanted courthouse protests, but instead got MAGA misfits. And this piece is from the Daily Beast. It says, this is Dateline Miami, Florida. Protesters assembled outside the federal courthouse here in Miami on Tuesday to express their support for former President Donald Trump to fly the Trump colors and show prosecutors that they're up against a MAGA army. But if protesters sought to show unity and organization, what they accomplished was a disorganized display of spectacles, flaunting a pig's head on a pike and getting the street shut down over an abandoned television. Trump was arraigned on Tuesday afternoon for 37 counts related to his alleged mishandling of classified documents. On social media, Trump called on fans to come to Miami for his court appearance. He said, quote, "See you in Miami on Tuesday." But turnout was modest on Tuesday morning, despite efforts by pro-Trump figures like rapper Forziato Blow gin up attendance for a 10 a.m. rally. By the way, I'm with my producer, Aaron. Hey, Aaron, let me ask you, have you ever heard of this guy, this rapper named Forziato Blow?
I don't believe I have.
All right. I thought maybe I was just still in the dark when it came to the hip hop style, but yeah, I'm not familiar with him either. But anyway, he goes on and says this. What I like about this, we've been supporting Trump since day one and never switch up on Donald Trump. Man, what's up? DeSantis heads need to get out here and get with Trump. Blow, whose real name is Kurt Jantz, said in a video outside the courthouse on Tuesday, referencing Trump's Republican rival and Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis. Blow's attendance was not purely political. The prolific novelty rapper. So he's a novelty rapper.
Yeah, I
frequently
did.
I
did look him up, and all the songs I'm finding are songs called Boycott Target or Let's Go Brandon.
So he's a rapper that writes songs for MAGA heads, it sounds like. All right. Thanks for looking that up. The prolific novelty rapper who frequently releases songs timed to conservative news items is promoting a new song called Trump Indictment. And on Monday tweeted a picture of himself wearing a signboard with a QR code for a download of the tune. Quote, "See everyone tomorrow. Help us get Trump Indictment to number one on iTunes," Blow tweeted, promoting both the track and the protest against Trump's second felony arraignment this year. Vivek Ramaswamy, a long-shot Republican presidential candidate, gave a Tuesday morning speech in which he pledged, if elected president, to pardon Donald Trump. Meanwhile, Tim Gionne, a far-right personality who goes by Baked Alaska, live-streamed himself outside the courthouse on Tuesday. He was recently released from prison, where he was serving 60 days for his participation in the January 6th Capitol attack. He was also found guilty last year of defacing a Hanukkah display. "No more happy Hanukkah, only Merry Christmas. This is a disgrace," Gionne said in a live stream of the vandalism. So not only did he vandalize the Hanukkah display and deface it, he actually live streamed himself doing it. At least one member of the far right group, the Proud Boys, was in attendance on Tuesday. A Telegram channel for the group, Villain City Proud Boys, uploaded a video from the grounds. Although the group did not appear to have a uniformed presence on Tuesday morning, the Villain City Proud Boys are a splinter faction of Miami's longer standing Vice City Proud Boys, which disavows the former group and calls it illegitimate. Lauren Witzke, a far-right conspiracy theorist who unsuccessfully ran for U.S. Senate in Delaware, also live-streamed from a demonstration organized by anti-Muslim activist Laura Loomer. During her live stream, she wondered out loud if federal agents were undercover at the courthouse protests. "Let's count the FBI in this protest," read a sign carried by a pro-Trump protester she interviewed. Witzke later contemplated if the man holding the sign, which had toy water guns attached, was a Fed himself. Can't trust anybody, right? Witzke, an ally of white nationalist Nick Fuentes, soon grew tired of covering the lackluster Loomer protest and turned her attention to trolling the media. "Is CNN here?" she asked on the stream, adding, "Oh, shoot, I forgot I was streaming. Oops." Various factions of Trump fans scheduled courthouse protests over the course of the day. Loomer's event was slated to start at noon. A convoy of four buses organized by the Florida Republican Assembly arrived at 2 p.m. Toward the beginning of the rally, Loomer claimed that Trump's team had called her on Tuesday morning to express their support for her event. Quote, "President Trump, his staff called me this morning. President Trump is grateful for the rally. His staff personally called me and said they were with President Trump this morning, and he wants to thank everybody for coming out today. They are very happy that this rally is taking place. They want it peaceful. President Trump is very grateful that we are out here today," she added. Trump spokesman Stephen Chung didn't return the Daily Beast request for comment on Loomer's claim. Loomer had good reason to talk up Trump's support for her effort, as the Daily Beast reported Monday evening that Trump's own advisors thought protests outside of the Miami courthouse were a bad idea. "I would hope it's not a protest," one Trump advisor told the Daily Beast. And even before the rally, Trump's aides attempted to distance themselves from Loomer and the Roger Stone promoted event. Quote, "Anybody we've heard from at the campaign, it's been somebody who just wants to come and be supportive of the president," the Trump advisor added before attempting to make clear that the official Trump campaign wanted no part of any demonstrations. Evidently, some people have learned after all of the arrests following the January 6th protest slash insurrection. 17 minutes after 9 o'clock now. Going to take a break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned into your Civic Media radio station.
"You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
app.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
We are going to be dealing with more of that smoke from Canadian wildfires today, and that is going to impact air quality for much of the region, so keep that in mind. Otherwise, partly cloudy, 78 our high this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. 49 tonight, tomorrow sunny, 80 by Saturday, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 86. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 21 minutes after 9 o'clock now on this Thursday morning, and we've been discussing a number of topics today. If you have a comment on anything we've discussed so far, feel free to call in. Phone number here is 715-388-7155. And got news here that Democrats in Congress are renewing a push to protect access to birth control. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner, written by Jennifer Shute, and posted this morning about 5 o'clock. It says, Dateline Washington, Democrats in Congress reintroduced a bill yesterday, that would guarantee access to birth control regardless of any future Supreme Court rulings. The measure would ensure people have the right to use contraception and that healthcare providers have a right to share information about contraception as well as provide it. The legislation would insulate access to birth control in the event the U.S. Supreme Court decides to overturn any of the cases that have provided Americans with the privacy rights that guaranteed a right to contraception. The bill is necessary, proponents argued, because the Supreme Court just last year overturned the constitutional right to abortion that stood for nearly 50 years. Quote, millions of people use contraception, and they have for decades, and the vast majority of Americans support the right to birth control, said Washington Democratic Senator Patty Murray. While Republicans blocked the bill from passing last Congress, Murray said, the reintroduction was a chance to show whether they do support access to birth control. Quote, my message to Republicans who claim to support the right to just get birth control, now's your chance to prove it, Murray said. Stand with us. Don't stand against us. The bill was originally introduced last Congress by a coalition of Democratic lawmakers who were concerned about a section of Justice Clarence Thomas's concurring opinion in the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization abortion case. Thomas wrote, the High Court should reconsider many of the precedent-setting cases that used the same logic applied in Roe v. Wade, specifically that justices, quote, should consider all of this court's substantive due process precedents, including Griswold, Lawrence, and Obergefell, end quote. Those cases are the 1965 Griswold v. Connecticut ruling that recognized married couples' right to use contraception, the 2003 Lawrence v. Texas ruling that invalidated laws criminalizing adult, private, consensual sexual relationships, and the 2015 Obergefell v. Hodges case that legalized same-sex marriages. The U.S. House voted to approve the contraception legislation last July, but Democrats couldn't get the 60 votes needed in the Senate to move past that chamber's legislative filibuster. North Carolina Democratic Representative Kathy Manning sought to remind people that before 1965, several states had laws banning or restricting who could get contraceptives. Quote, "My bill establishes a federal statutory right for individuals to access and use birth control and for healthcare providers to provide it," Manning said. "It protects the full range of FDA-approved contraceptive methods, including birth control pills, IUDs, and emergency contraception like Plan B," end quote. Massachusetts Democratic Senator Ed Markey said Thomas's opinion in the Dobbs case gave lawmakers, quote, "a window into just how far he could go to dismantle Americans' freedoms." He outlined a long-held Republican belief that Americans have too many privacy rights under the Constitution, and the Supreme Court had erred in recognizing those privacy rights and that the court should take them away, just as it did the right to abortion, Markey said. Representative Sarah Jacobs, a California Democrat, noted during the press conference that patients use birth control for an array of reasons, including for acne and for endometriosis. She also said that ensuring access to contraception is central to the government recognizing that women have bodily autonomy. Quote, "This is about the government seeing me as someone with human agency and recognizing my right and power to make decisions about my own body that could change the trajectory of my life," Jacobs said. "This is about the freedom to control if, when, and how to grow a family without government interference." What do you think? Do you think that women should have the ability to control if, when, and how to grow a family without government interference? I'd be interested to hear your opinion. Give me a call, 715-388-7155. Going to take a break. You're tuned into your Civic Media radio station.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The big cleanup's underway after a blast of tornadoes swept through the South. CBS's Mark Strassman.
Here in Eufaula, Alabama, strong winds sheared the walls off homes, cut through trees, and down power lines.
More than 160,000 customers are still without. In the upper Midwest, they're still breathing in smoky air from wildfires in Canada. This woman's in Minneapolis.
I don't like being around real thick smoke. This is pretty thick.
Retail sales rose 0.3% in May, despite higher inflation and interest rates. North Korea's launched two short-range ballistic missiles off its east coast. Pentagon correspondent Cammie McCormick.
The latest North Korean test comes as U.S. and South Korean troops wrap up large-scale live-fire drills near the Korea's heavily fortified border. Pyongyang had vowed a response. These exercises were the biggest of their kind since 1977.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. An air quality advisory has been issued for all but the easternmost counties in Wisconsin through noon today. Wildfire smoke from Canada is covering most of the state, with the current air quality unhealthy for children and people with certain medical conditions. The outdoor public pool in Chippewa Falls is set to open tomorrow. The pool, which was supposed to open last Friday, needed to delay its opening by a week due to a burst pipe that was discovered in the middle of last week. Three people are in custody after a multi-county drug investigation. More than 5 pounds of meth and $49,000 in cash was seized, with two people, Stanley Holte and Julia Ann Lloyd, arrested for allegedly trafficking meth and fentanyl. Both are being held in the La Crosse County Jail on $500,000 cash bonds. The state high school baseball championships are today in Grand Chute. Ithaca meets Pecatonica in the D4 title game, which you can hear on the Civic Media app at WRCO. At noon, St. Croix Falls plays Aquinas in the D3 championship. D2 and D1 play later this evening. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
I never stay in one place too long. A dirt road singing me a siren song. I gotta find a field. I need to spin my wheels. I got a hankering for four wide tires, and I can't help it. It's the way I'm wired. Boy, you get too close. Boy, you need to know. I got a heart like a truck. It's been drugged through the mud. Runs on dreams and gasoline. And that old highway holds a key. It's got legs.
shine it up, rev it up and let it run, yeah. It gets a high riding off into the sun, yeah. I got a heart like a truck. It's been drug through the mud. Runs on dreams and
what a voice. That's Lainey Wilson at A Heart Like a Truck. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. I'm your host, Stu Daniels. Hope you're having a good day so far. We have breaking news on a couple of fronts right now that I want to get to as we continue the program. This is from the New York Times. Breaking just a few minutes ago, a Supreme Court decision coming down. And the headline here in the Times says, Supreme Court upholds Native American adoption law. The subheadline says, at issue in the case was whether a law aimed at keeping Native American adoptees within tribes is constitutional. This story put together by Abby Van Sickle, reporting from Washington for the New York Times. The Supreme Court on Thursday, that's today, upheld a 1978 law aimed at keeping Native American adoptees with their tribes and traditions, handing a victory to tribes that had argued that a blow to the law would upend the basic principles that have allowed them to govern themselves. Justice Amy Coney Barrett wrote the majority opinion. She was joined by six other justices. So, in other words, it was a 7-2 vote. Can you guess who voted no? If you said Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, you're correct. They are the two that dissented in this opinion. Justice Barrett acknowledged the myriad thorny subjects raised in the challenge to the law, which pitted a white foster couple from Texas against five tribes and the Interior Department as they battled over the adoption of a Native American child. Quote, "The issues are complicated," she wrote, "but the bottom line is that we reject all of petitioners' challenges to the statute, some on the merits and others for lack of standing," end quote. Under federal law, preference is given to Native families, a policy that the couple said violated equal protection principles and discriminated against Native children and non-Native families who wanted to adopt them because it hinges on placement based on race. The tribes have said that they are political entities, not racial groups, and that doing away with that distinction, which underpins tribal rights, could imperil nearly every aspect of Indian law and policy, including measures that govern access to land, water, and gambling. The 1978 legislation, the Indian Child Welfare Act, was meant to address the legacy of abuses of Native American children, hundreds of thousands of whom had been separated from their tribes to be raised by families with no connection to their culture. Typically, when it comes to a child's welfare, a judge is charged with determining the best interest of the child. Under the act, however, Native American children are subject to different rules, in part to safeguard their tribal ties. The law lays out priorities for adoption before a child can be placed with a non-Native family. Children should first be in the care of a member of their extended family. If that is not possible, then priority would move to a member of their tribe. Failing that, children should go to other Indian families. An evangelical couple from Texas, Jennifer and Chad Brackeen, along with other families, challenged the law after they took in a boy known in court records as ALM. The boy was less than a year old in 2016 when he entered the foster care system in the state. The boy, born to a Navajo mother and a Cherokee father, joined the couple after Navajo tribal placements fell through, and eventually both tribes agreed to let the couple adopt the child. Their faith, the Brackeens have said, along with their comfortable living circumstances, called them to become foster parents. In 2018, Judge Reed O'Connor of the United States District Court for the Northern District of Texas struck down the law as unconstitutional. That same year, ALM's mother gave birth to another child, a girl. She too entered foster care. The Brackeens filed for custody, hoping she could join her brother. The Navajo sought to have the child placed with her great-great-aunt, who lives on a reservation. A state judge determined that the Brackeens would share custody with the great-aunt, with the girl spending time with her extended family each summer on the reservation. Both the tribe and the couple appealed the decision as ALM's case wound its way through the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. The court largely upheld the law, prompting both sides to seek Supreme Court review. The Supreme Court has heard other challenges to the Indian Child Welfare Act, most recently in 2013, but the court's composition has shifted considerably since then. Other states, including Ohio and Oklahoma, have backed the Brackeens, arguing that the law intrudes on states' ability to handle child welfare cases. The Goldwater Institute, a conservative policy center in Arizona, claimed the legislation interferes with the duty of states to protect abused and neglected children by improperly forcing state agencies to carry out a federal program. Medical groups, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, have weighed in to support the legislation, arguing that it is an important tool to help redress, quote, the intergenerational pain of lost connections and the trauma of historical loss, end quote. In wide-ranging arguments in November, the justices focused on whether Congress had the power to enact the legislation in the first place and whether it violated equal protection principles. In particular, they considered the provision that allowed Native children to be placed with other Indian families and whether that was a determination based on race. Justice Brett Kavanaugh had appeared skeptical of the law, offering an analogy. He said the court would not sustain a similar measure were it applied to white or Latino families. He said he did not think the court would ever allow, quote, Congress to say that white parents should get a preference for white children in adoption, or that Latino parents should get a preference for Latino children in adoption proceedings, end quote. The court's three liberal members, along with Justice Neil Gorsuch, who has gained a reputation as a tribal rights advocate, had seemed supportive of the law. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson said that Congress had the authority to regulate adoption of Native children, as the tribes had argued, quote, Congress said things like there's no resource that is more vital to the continued existence and integrity of Indian tribes than their children, she said. They constantly cast regulations regarding children, Indian children, as a matter of tribal integrity, self-governance, existence, end quote. So that's the breaking news from the Supreme Court today. Supreme Court upholds Native American adoption law. And there's also breaking news from Ticketmaster and Live Nation. For those of you that attend concerts, Ticketmaster and Live Nation agree to all-in prices as part of Biden war on junk fees. This is something that Joe Biden has been talking about for a while. The fact that if you buy something, if you buy tickets from Ticketmaster or Live Nation, or even other things like Airbnb, or tickets from SeatGeek, after you buy the tickets or in the process of purchasing the tickets or the stay at your Airbnb, there are extra fees added on. After you see the original price, these junk fees are added, and the Biden administration has been trying to crack down on these junk fees, and as someone who attends concerts regularly, I appreciate that. This is from KSL.com. Dateline Washington, Live Nation and Ticketmaster will soon offer consumers all-in pricing on their popular ticket platforms, the White House announced as it convenes a meeting on Thursday to highlight efforts to crack down on so-called junk fees. So this meeting is going to go on today. President Joe Biden is hosting a meeting at the White House of private companies including Ticketmaster, SeatGeek, and Airbnb, who have committed to fully disclose fees to consumers up front. It is part of Biden's broader effort to crack down on junk fees imposed by ticket companies, banks, airlines, and other industries. Live Nation will commit to roll out an upfront all-in pricing in September, showing just one total price for more than 30 million fans who attend shows at the more than 200 Live Nation-owned venues and festivals across the country, the White House said. Ticketmaster will also add a feature to give consumers the option to receive all-in upfront pricing for all other tickets sold on the platform, the White House said. Live Nation and Ticketmaster merged in 2010 after a Department of Justice brokered settlement that officials said would encourage competition and send ticket prices down. Critics, including lawmakers and me, have said that has not been the result. SeatGeek, a ticketing platform that serves both the primary and secondary market, will roll out product features over the course of the summer to make it easier for its millions of customers to shop on the basis of all-in price. You'll see the total price without any additional charges, because all the charges are all in the price you see. So that's good news, right? I think. Doesn't mean ticket prices are going to get any cheaper, but at least you'll know what you're paying before you get to the end of the purchase experience. Going to take a break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I've been a tireless public servant for over a decade. Before that, worked nearly 6 years on Wall Street. I'm an economist, a lawyer, and somebody who cares deeply about whether or not what our politicians are doing make each of our lives better. Come tune in to The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
We are going to be dealing with more of that smoke from Canadian wildfires today, and that is going to impact air quality for much of the region, so keep that in mind. Otherwise, partly cloudy, 78 our high this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15, 49 tonight, tomorrow sunny, 80 by Saturday, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 86. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
To the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 9:51 now on this Thursday morning. Final segment of the show today. Boy, these shows go by quick. There's so much to talk about. Breaking news going on. Crazy stuff with the former president of the United States. Current legislators trying to do things. And in fact, here's something that happened yesterday. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner. 5 bipartisan housing measures pass legislature and head to the governor. You often hear how we are so polarized these days that there is very little bipartisan legislation that gets passed. Well, it seems like that's not always the case. And here's a good example of that. 5 bipartisan housing measures in Wisconsin pass legislature and head to the governor. This is from Eric Gunn in the Wisconsin Examiner and posted this morning. Says a package of bills aimed at making it easier for communities and developers to address a statewide shortage of affordable housing passed both houses of the legislature Wednesday with broad bipartisan support. Several of the bills were shaped in consultation with the administration of Governor Tony Evers, and Republican authors in the assembly made a point of acknowledging as much during Wednesday's floor debate on the measures. Quote, I think we have a really good package, and I actually want to thank the governor for his latest input, said Representative Robert Brooks, a Republican from Saukville, chair of the Assembly Housing and Real Estate Committee. All 7 measures passed the Assembly on voice votes and went to the Senate. 4 bills provide for lending programs through the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, also known as WEDA, including for building new homes, rehabilitating existing homes, and converting commercial properties to residential use. They were immediately added to the Senate's calendar and passed late Wednesday, along with another bill that puts new limits on who can legally intervene on projects that meet local zoning rules. Of the other two measures, increases. And there might be a little typographical error here, but it says of the other two measures, increases in the cap for WEDA's low-income housing tax credits up to $100,000, more than twice the current $42,000 cap, and expands the use of tax incremental districts if developers finance them. They were sent to a Senate committee Wednesday after passing in the Assembly. Quote, our goal in this package of bills was not to increase the demand side of the equation, but really to deal with the supply side and bring down housing costs and not do it through mandates, but do it through the carrot approach and working with our local authorities to bring down mandates, Brooks said. So that's the story. What do you think about housing? Where you are is affordable housing easy to find, or is it more difficult? It looks like Wisconsin is making an effort, at least, to do something about it. One other thing I wanted to get to from the Wisconsin Examiner. In a letter to clerks, WEC administrator makes case for reappointment, yet urges quick decision by commission either way. And this starts out by saying, in a letter to municipal and county clerks sent Wednesday morning, Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf laid out her case for why she should be reappointed to the role when her term expires on July 1st. Wolf, who has become a regular target of right-wing attacks as Republicans across the state have become hostile to the state's election system, said that the state will be better off if it has an experienced hand running, leading the agency during the 2024 election season, which starts in April with the Republican presidential primary. And by the way, if you are near me in age, if you're more than 20 or 30 years old, you have probably noticed over the decades that errors, typographical errors, grammatical errors in newspapers are a lot more common than they were when we were young. That's for sure.
I can definitely I can definitely say, even being 24, I've seen it increase a lot. It's pretty bad now.
Listen to this. When I was in grade school, I think it was third grade, we had a thing go on every Friday where we would have to bring in clippings from the newspaper and talk about what the story said. And also at that time, we were told to try to find errors, grammatical errors, typographical errors in the newspaper, and it couldn't be done. You know, that whole year, I never found one. And then throughout my career in school and even into college and beyond, I would look for errors and I could never find them until about 20 or 30 years ago. And I remember the first time I saw one, I couldn't even believe it. And now it's like almost every story I read has some kind of typographical error, a grammatical error, spelling error. And I'm talking about in big publications like Rolling Stone magazine and others. So I guess we shouldn't pick on this story from the Wisconsin Examiner because it's pretty prevalent these days. But anyway, that's the story on Megan Wolf trying to retain her job in Wisconsin as the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, and I agree with her. It's good to have somebody with experience trying to run elections. Anyway, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the Stu Daniels Show. You can hear this show every morning, 8 to 10 a.m., and I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. This is
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising.
This incredible offer ends June 30th.
Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at sounditouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.